Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Christ the King Redemptive Ministries Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. I, along with my husband, Apostle Christopher McQueen, would like to take the time to thank you for joining us. I am your hostess, Prophetess Crystal McQueen. We want to invite you to share with us as we study the Word of God. It is our purpose to help you grow, mature, be healed, and prosper by teaching you the Word of God. We encourage you to get involved with the lesson. You may call into the show at 1-718-766-4583 or join in with the chat sessions during the show. We welcome your questions, comments, and prayer requests. Please visit us at our website at www.ctkr.org. This is a helpful place for you to learn about us and help us expand the kingdom of God. There you can become a partner with us and see our upcoming events. We are looking forward to sharing the Word of God with you. Be blessed in the Lord and enjoy the broadcast.
God bless you, everybody. I'm Apostle Christopher McQueen.
And I'm Prophetess.
Prophetess
McQueen.
Amen. Christ the King Redemptive Ministries. And this is Kingdom Lifestyles. We're here and we're excited that God has allowed you to join with us today. We believe that there's a dynamic word from the Lord today. And you are going to be able to receive this word. Amen. We have a few things in the way of announcements that we want to get out the way. And then we're going to go into prayer and into this dynamic word for tonight. Every Tuesday night at 7 p.m., we do Kingdom Lifestyles. Amen. Kingdom Lifestyles is a time that we come together, and it is our Bible study, if you will. It is the time that we come in and begin to share the Word of God with you. Amen. We encourage you to be a part of it. Amen. We come in and we learn how to live this kingdom lifestyle, and it's interactive. Amen. So if you have questions or anything, whether you're on a switchboard or in the chat room, please just let us know. If you have prayer requests, we'll definitely want to pray for you and lift you up and uphold you. It is a privilege for us to do so in ministry. Amen. On Thursday night, we do prophetic atmosphere with none other than Prophetess Crystal McQueen. Amen. My lovely wife. And that is the time that she goes in and she gives you what the Lord has put on her heart. And we have been dealing with just foundation to the prophetic, and now we're going into some of the applications of that prophetic work, dreams, visions, and the like, and how the Lord speaks and how you need to respond to the word that has been spoken. Amen. So we're moving forward knowing that God has great things for us as that is concerned, as far as that's concerned. And she is dynamic as a woman of God. Amen. On Friday nights, we are in Daytona Beach, Florida. Amen. And every Friday night from 7:30 to 9 o'clock, we have Kingdom Lifestyles Training Institute. Amen. And the Kingdom Lifestyles Training Institute is held at the New Hope Missionary Baptist Church, 633 Roy Street. That's R-O-Y Street in Daytona Beach, Florida. The Kingdom Lifestyles Training Institute is designed to minister, equip, teach, and train in the ascension gifts. We do this as we impart praise and worship and fellowship together. Amen. And that's every Friday from 7:30 to 9 p.m. in Daytona Beach, Florida. And then on Saturday morning at 10 o'clock a.m. is Kingdom Lifestyles training, or Kingdom Lifestyles again. And this is our Sabbath service. Amen. We are on Saturdays until we move on to our Sundays in our location. Amen. But this is a time when we come together as the body of Christ and we'll just minister the word and celebrate, you know, Jesus Christ. And we want you to be a part of that. Please go to our website, www.ctkr.org. There you find out more about us. Become a vision partner with us. We have ministries all over the world. Amen. From Pakistan all the way to India. Not only India, we have
Africa.
Amen. We have Kenya, Uganda, Nigeria. We have the Philippines. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank God for our assistant. He just reminded me that, well, yes, this Friday we will be probably broadcasting the service for this Friday. We will be in Ocoee.
Amen.
None other than Apostle Robbie Baxter, or Apostle Dr. Robbie Baxter, will be he'll be consecrated into the office of bishop. Amen. And we're looking forward to that. Amen. Now, with that all being said and done, let's go into prayer, if you will, prophetess.
Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for this moment. God, we thank you for your presence already being with us. We thank you for the blood of Jesus. We thank you for caring for us throughout this day. Lord, we thank you for bringing us back safely to our destination. Father, we thank you for your presence, your anointing, and your power, your love, your guidance over us in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, as we come before you now, we just lift up our hands and our hearts before you, God. We just want to worship your name. We want to give you due reverence that it belongs to you. Even as we stand before you on this evening, wherever your people may be, Lord, I'm asking in Jesus' name for any sin that is in our lives, that it will be forgiven us, God, that you would cleanse us from all unrighteousness, God. Allow your word to wash us. Allow the blood of Jesus to wash us clean. This evening, in the name of Jesus, we ask for forgiveness from every sin of omission, sin of commission, God, every thought, every negative conversation that we had, every wayward thought, God, listening or hearing you lead us somewhere and us refusing to follow. Throughout this day, God, we ask for things we should have done and known to do and we did not do. God, we ask for forgiveness right now in Jesus' name. And Lord, I'm asking that the anointing, the presence of the Holy Spirit would breathe on us right now. Breathe upon your people, Lord. Speak a word of life this evening. Speak a word of direction, God. Speak a word of healing. Speak a word of revelation and wisdom in the lives of your people in the name of Jesus. God, right now, we thank you for what you're doing. We thank you for the direction you're taking us in. God, we thank you that you're manifesting this year and this season in our lives. We give your name all praise, glory, and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
And amen. We are so excited about what God has done and what God is doing here. Amen.
Amen.
I started a series, and I want to go into that and begin to expand on it. It's a lengthy series, amen. But we know that this is God's will and his design and plan for us. And if we grab hold of this word, it will be beneficial to us. And simply put, this is the time to build. Amen. We're dealing with Exodus 35 and 20 through 36 and 6. And, of course, there are other scriptures that we get into. But every Saturday morning, we have been beginning to teach on this. And I feel compelled to release it within our Tuesday as well. Amen. On Fridays with Kingdom Lifestyles, we'll be going into more of training for the ascension gifts. And I just want to encourage you again, as we're dealing with those ascension gifts, there are other things that are going on and that come along with it. We have to deal with, in the first century, the Gnostic Christians that stood up. And they did everything that they could to try to have hidden knowledge concerning Christ that set them apart and say that there was other ways to get to Christ and that there was other ways to get to God other than Christ. But they believed that he was a great prophet. They believed that he was an awesome, wonderful miracle worker. You know, and that sounds like a lot of the things that we have today. When you talk to your modern-day Muslims or any other religion, they all believe in Jesus. They believe that he was one of the greatest prophets that ever lived. But they do not attribute to him his deity, which is him being the Son of God. And I want you to know that there's many a good prophet who died, but there was only one Son of God who died. Amen?
Amen.
And thank God that the Son of God who died, Jesus, his blood sufficed for our sins. Amen? Mm-hmm. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. So when Jesus died and his blood was shed for us, it was perfect blood shed for an imperfect world. Amen? That calls us now not to walk as those who are flawless, but those who are forgiven. So we thank God for that. Amen. But even in that, there is a responsibility that we have as the body of Christ, amen, mm-hmm. as the church, as the ecclesia, as it comes down to in leading and demonstrating the power of God amongst the people, amen. And that really comes down to the training, amen. So when we start looking at the season that we're in, Lent, and we're going into Passover and Resurrection Sunday, dealing with Jesus Christ being the Paschal Lamb, as we begin to deal with all of those different pagan gods and deities and goddesses, if you will, that actually were in place before there was Christ who came on the scene, amen, we have to really get into understanding what some of these holidays really are. Amen.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And in dealing with so, then we understand how a bunny can actually lay eggs.
Right.
You know, and what else is actually going on there? We have to get into that. We have to get into some of these pagan beliefs and belief systems. Amen. And that's why it's important for us to actually deal with this within the confines or within the boundaries of the Kingdom Lifestyles Training Institute. So I'm encouraging you, if you have the ability, we need to come out and not only discover who the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher is, we also have to understand what it is that we are combating these days. Amen. The biggest enemy in the church today is compromise.
Amen.
Amen. We have compromised the gospel, trying to get everyone to like us.
Yeah.
And accepting all, we have ceased to be Christian. Amen?
Amen.
And I know that that's important for us, and we have to get back to preaching holiness, living it and demonstrating it before the world. Amen?
Yes.
There used to be a time when people said that they were saved, sanctified, Holy Ghost filled fire baptized, got Jesus on my side, I'm ready for my life, that it meant something. And when they said, I'm saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, that back with a mighty burning fire, it actually was something that was not a cliche. It was something that was demonstrated. Amen.
Yes.
There was times when I would view my mother and my father go to noonday prayer. They would have it Monday through Friday. Amen. Monday through Friday, noonday prayer for 1 hour. And they would go in there and pray and call upon the name of the Lord. When the pastor came in to minister and preach, he didn't, or she didn't have to fuss and fight trying to get the people up to a spiritual level where they could receive, because it was a lifestyle. Amen. It wasn't, I went to church on Sunday and I feel okay because I showed up for Sunday church. Amen. It was a lifestyle. When we came to church on Sunday or any other day of the week, it was an experience because it was part of what we did for a living. Amen. And we got to get back to that, like, that living. But we can't do that until the leaders understand the need for us to live that type of life. That means that we get the focus off of us and put the focus back on Christ. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. So now, what I want to deal with tonight is I want to continue on with this lesson, It's Time to Build. We dealt with the building of the tabernacle being a temporary dwelling place, and that is where the Lord comes in and allows us in our location to have a presence of Him there.
Amen.
Amen. Y'all understand?
Yes.
So He allows us to... to even in our circumstances, He will send someone who will come amongst you as His representative. Not necessarily that they are you, you understand, or are a part of what you are doing, but they become a representative of God in your midst. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone has a friend, or you probably could name someone who was a little bit more spiritually mature than you. They were going to prayer while you was trying to find a way to go to the club. Amen. They was going to a revival when you was trying to go to the game or go kick it or something else. You know, they wanted to go to the Bible study and you was trying to catch your favorite show on TV. But when it came time for you to need prayer or need something from God, you went and found that person. You understand? That's what I'm talking about. You know, so the tabernacle deals with, in our modern day, that type of manifestation of God. God dwells among the people, and it is the representative of God that is dwelling amongst you, okay? And that's for those who are just coming and becoming acclimated to what Christianity is, amen? God allows them then to have a temporary dwelling place, or He provides temporary dwelling amongst them, amen? That's why you can go around those type of people and those friends and relatives, and you're okay until they start into some of their stuff. And then the holiness in you feels uncomfortable, but it also feels uncomfortable to them. Amen?
Right.
So me and my wife was dealing with some people who had a situation in their life, and everything was fine as we were there dealing with the situation. But as it started to get later and darker, you know, things started coming out from hidden places. Amen. And things that we weren't a part of begin to happen. Amen. We don't drink, we don't smoke, we don't get high or any rest of that stuff. Amen. But those things started showing up at that situation and at that location. So they were trying to be respectful of us, knowing that we don't partake in any of that. But we felt uncomfortable around them, knowing, you understand, that that's what they was ready to do. So we bid them farewell and adieu, and we left, and, you know, they did what they were going to do. Amen. That goes back to what I'm saying, a temporary dwelling place. While we were there to demonstrate the character of Christ, but not become what they were or do anything that they were doing. Amen. Y'all follow what I'm saying here?
Amen.
So we went through all of this, and we dealt with Moses asking them to give, and they gave of the plunder that they had from Egypt. When they came out with the wealth of Egypt, amen. And as God brings some of you out, you're going to come out of those dark places. God is going to give you favor with people who have resources. The favor that you have is not so that you can do something for yourself, but as God gives you the ability to have vision or become connected to vision or a vision, you'll have people and things that you can pull back on that will provide resource.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
For vision. And I want you to know that when it was time for Solomon to build the tabernacle, he built the temple, he called back to the king of Haran. Amen. King Haran actually had relationship with his father, King David. Amen. But when Solomon needed to build, he went and pulled on that relationship in order to do what he needed to do for the name of our God. Amen?
All right.
Amen. So you have to understand that you are connected to different people for different reasons. Amen. Your job is to live the life in front of them, but make sure that you understand the purpose of that relationship and connection. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
Amen. So he went and he asked them, the people to give concerning what is needed, amen.
Mm-hmm.
The people gave the best of what they had, amen. They didn't just give of the jewels and the precious metals and the badgers and goat skins and all of that and the red and the purple and scarlet, you know, all of that. They didn't just give of the purple and that and the blues, you know. They gave of their skill, their time, and their talent, amen. And I want to say this to you: what God is asking for you is not what you just give him, but God is asking you for the best.
Amen.
Amen. It is important for you to understand that when God asks for your best, he's asking for what you can give. Y'all understand?
Yes.
So God will ask you for something knowing that you have it. God won't ask you for something. If you got $5 in your pocket, God isn't going to ask you for a $1 million offering.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. But he will ask you to do to give of your time and your energy towards making receiving that $1 million. Y'all understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
So that it's important for us to understand, so that we don't turn around and just, you know, give God just something. Y'all need to be happy that I took time and did something here. I didn't have to do anything. You're right. You didn't have to do anything. But then again, God didn't have to do anything for you. And
Amen.
Look at all he's done. Amen.
Yes.
Without so much as stopping to see if you were going to respond properly towards him, God still gave. Amen. Before there was a you with an attitude or a point of view, his son had already died for your sins. Amen.
Yes.
And not just the sins that you had committed up to this point, but for every sin that you would ever commit, the blood has already been applied. Amen. You just have to accept him and thank him for it. Amen.
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 Amen. My husband was talking about, and just piggybacking off of what he's saying, we have to understand that everything that we have and our whole purpose for being is to bring God glory.
That's it. That's
our whole
it.
Purpose
yeah.
is that even when you look at the tabernacle being made, God wanted to dwell among his people.
Mm-hmm.
And now that we're living in the New Testament time, he's still dwelling among his people, except he's living on the inside of you.
Yes.
If you have the Holy, if you accepted him, Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and have the Holy Spirit within you, accepted him, he is dwelling inside of you. Therefore, he has made his abode with you. He has set up his tabernacle in you because he wants to dwell among you. So our job, our responsibility is that we have to give him our best. And that is our best in offering, our best in tithing, our best in our attitude, our best in how we treat each other. Not the ones we love.
Not the ones we love only.
You know, the ones that, you know, we just something about them you just can't stand. You know, you don't like the way that they act. You don't like the way that they move. You don't even like the character. But he didn't call us to like people. He called you to love them.
That's right.
And that's the biggest challenge. The best. He wants the best from us. Because if we're honest with ourselves, when you pray and you need God to do something for you, you want the best from Him.
That's right.
You want the top notch from Him, whether that's a blessing, whether that's speaking to the enemy and causing him to back up, whether that's needing healing in your body or healing for a loved one or just His presence showing up or Him opening up a door for you. Anything that you ask of the Father, you want the best from Him. Amen?
Amen.
So that means, and my husband is eventually going to get to this, as I was sharing in my devotional time with the Lord, and He led me into Romans, He's saying that we are, that our purpose or our whole being is to be His living sacrifice.
That's right.
Old Testament, the sacrifice with the lambs and the bulls and the goats, we have now become, that just wasn't enough, now we have become the sacrifice. How are we being sacrificed, you say? Your life. Everything that you have. That's why He said the best must be given unto Him.
Yeah, yeah.
Amen?
I mean, and he requires the best from us. Nothing that God gives you is broke down, second rate, tore up. Amen.
Amen.
If God gives you something, if He gives you a plot of land and it looks like it's a desert and a wilderness, God will cause it to begin to prosper and flourish up under your care, because He doesn't give you anything that is not prosperous. You understand?
Yeah.
The blessings of the Lord are yea and amen. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
It also says the blessing of the Lord make us rich and He hath no sorrow with
yes,
it.
Yes.
So the problem that we have is that our eyes is bigger than our appetite sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And if I could say it like this, our eyes are bigger than our devotion to God.
True that.
Amen. Amen. We don't want to give God anything, but we want God to give us everything. Amen.
Amen.
So when you're trying to get God to give you everything, amen,
mm-hmm.
then you have a problem, you know, with how things come to you. When, you know, you give Him part and you want Him to give you all. Well, God wants you to give Him all. Amen. Because He's not going to give you part. Amen.
Amen.
Romans 12:1 in the New Living Translation says this: "And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all He has done for you.
Amen.
Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind He will find acceptable." Amen. You see that? The kind He will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship Him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. See, I wish I had time to go into this, because the problem that many of us have is that we have spent so much time copying the world.
Amen.
That we haven't changed our mind to think like God. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
When is the last time that you have been able to go out and minister to your brother and sister without worrying about how they're going to look at you or think about you? Or is your lifestyle even at a place where you have a voice to speak in their hearing?
Amen.
You see, we have to understand that this right here is greater than us. And most of the time, people have a problem hearing your testimony and your witness because they've already seen your testimony and saw the witness. Amen?
True.
So we got to do better so that we can be a witness unto God. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. It says, change, don't copy the behaviors and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Amen. Lord, I'm trying to figure out, Apostle, which way I'm supposed to go and what the Lord really has for me to do. And I'm just want to know, you know, I'm heard somebody prophesy to me and this one said that. And then I was feeling, and okay, that's a lot of stuff there. But until you get to the place where your mind is changed, you can't accept really the plan that God has for you, because that plan will cause you to walk away from some stuff that you find comfortable.
Amen.
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 That's why it said, plead with you to give your bodies to God. Amen. Because of all that He has done for you. Christ gave His body for us and His life for us. Then we need to give our bodies to Christ. Amen.
Yeah.
Everything about me, my whole body belongs to God. Amen. That's for my mind, my mentality, and my flesh. Everything is His. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. So now, as we begin to deal with this, then I become then when I give myself to God, then I become that tabernacle
that He dwells in.
That He dwells in, and it's a temporary dwelling place. Amen. It allows me to go in amongst the people as Christ did. Amen. See them in their sin, but not become sinful like them. Mm-hmm. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
So then when it's time for them to call upon the name of the Lord or they need a miracle, then I can stand up and demonstrate the power of God before them. Amen. Because my lifestyle,
yes,
is that of one who belongs to the kingdom of God. Amen. We're still dealing with kingdom lifestyles. Amen.
Amen.
My lifestyle leads me to a witness before them. Amen. There are people who came and said, listen, I've heard this, I've heard that, but your lifestyle demonstrates something totally different. Amen. If people can't look at you and tell by your actions something that they heard was a lie, you need to go back and check your actions. Check your life. Amen?
Amen. May I say something?
Yes, yes.
While you're talking. Wanted to add, also, yes, check your life, but then also realize that God has given you a grace to do what you do that only you can do. And I believe part of our issue in the body of Christ, people of God, is that we have looked. You may be one to say, well, you know what? I keep my eye off of the world. But are you comparing yourself to your brother and sister that are sitting in the pew next to you?
See.
Are you comparing yourself to the church or the ministry across the street? Too many of us, what God has graced one to do, He has graced them to do.
That's
if
right.
He's graced them to be a leader of the masses, whatever you call the masses, then that's the grace that He has given that man or woman of God. But He may have only graced you to deal with the 10.
That's right.
And the thing is, we have to understand and accept that the 10 are just as important as the masses unto God, because that's the grace He has given you. And our problem is, because it says, don't copy the behavior, still reading out of Romans 12 and 1, He says, don't copy the customs and behaviors of this world. But let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. When you understand and allow Him to transform how you see yourself in Him or what success is in God.
Yeah.
If you understand what success is in God, then you won't beat yourself down because you only got the twos and the fews or the five or the tens while somebody else has the 50. And
see,
you're looking at the 50 and saying that I'm not successful in God because I don't have the 50. Well, maybe the 10 that you have, the 50, the person that has the 50 can't deal with. These may be special cases that God has ordained you or placed or given you the grace, the measure to handle.
That's right. That's right.
Every pastor can't pastor everybody.
That's right. That's one of the first things that you learn in leadership is that I had to come to grips and understanding that even though as a man of God ordained, amen, as an elder set in the office of apostle with hands laid upon me and oil poured upon me, I had to understand that I'm not everybody's apostle, pastor, evangelist. You understand? There are certain people that God has assigned to me, and in their ears I have the voice to speak to them. Amen. I speak as the voice of God in their hearing. Now, let me clarify that, because many people say, I can hear God for myself. Yes, you can. But you can't hear God like you need to hear God unless you, first of all, have a preacher.
Amen.
Hello, somebody.
That's everybody.
Because that's what the word of God says. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not greater than God. Amen. You're not greater than His word. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Let me prove this to you. Let me prove it to you. Let's go to Romans, the 10th chapter. Amen. I'm going to read it in the New King James Version. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go to 10 and 9. Well, let's go to 10 and 8. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. Amen. So that means that the word is here is something that you believe and it's something that you're saying. Amen. That is the word of faith which we preach. Uh-oh, now we're getting into a problem. Amen. Yeah. Because what we hear and what we see nowadays is most people can say a scripture or two with a little understanding about it, but they really can't articulate properly the message of God. Amen. And if you can't do that, then you can't really preach the gospel, can you? Mm-hmm. Amen. The ninth verse, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Huh? For with the heart, Tim, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord is over all, rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, that's where most people, they say, oh, yeah, I got it. I got it. And they shut the book right there because I got it. I called upon, I confess with my mouth, I believe in my heart, and I know I'm saved, and I got it. I'm going to read my Bible, and I'm going to live this life, and I ain't got to follow no preacher, no man, or nobody else because they can't put no me in no heaven or no hell. Okay, now, you should have kept on reading because the 14th verse says, how shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? Well, I just said I believe. Okay. And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? Okay. You see this? The problem is that people have an ideal of Christ, but they really don't know who Jesus is. Amen. Because if they knew who he was, then some of the stuff that they do would not occur in their lives. Amen? Mm-hmm. You go out and demonstrate your flesh and then turn around and say, I belong to God. Amen? That is crazy. Amen? And it doesn't bear up to common sense. Amen? When you look at it in the scope of things. Mm-hmm. But the flesh will validate flesh and it will find a way to defend itself. But after all is said and done, Jesus Christ died so that you could live. Not you, your flesh, but you, your spirit, can be reunited with God, your Father. Amen? Amen. So how can you hear and how shall they believe in him who they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Mm-hmm. It sounds like somebody needs to go ahead and get you your outfit together and press your shirt and get your blouse together and your skirt, get your pants, your trousers together, shine up your shoes, get your high heels on. If you go to one of those churches where you have to wear stockings and you don't feel like putting on a full pair of stockings, get your knee highs or whatever they call. Amen. However you got to do it, but you need to get back to the household of faith. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
How can they hear without a preacher? I can pray and hear from God myself. Are you a preacher? Amen? And if you're a preacher, then you wouldn't be saying that. This conversation will be going on with you because you will already know this scripture right here says, how can you hear without a preacher? Amen? And how can they preach unless they are sent? That's where the problem comes in with many of those in leadership, and that's why we're dealing with this. Amen?
Amen.
Because we have to understand that those who are out now, some of them just went. They weren't sent. They saw that this was an opportunity for them to have people hang on the words, captive audiences, if you will, because of the name that they have. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
But the problem really comes down to this. It comes down to the fact that if you aren't sent, then you don't have a grace upon you.
Amen.
And if there's no grace upon you, there's no operation of the Holy Spirit within the work that you're doing. There's no anointing upon you. So you stand in office and you have good intentions, but you have no anointing to carry out the task.
Amen.
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 So we have a problem, huh? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring good tidings, huh? But they have not all obeyed the gospel. Huh? See? We have a problem, don't we? We have a real problem here. For Isaiah says, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Y'all see?
Amen.
So we have to understand that this word that we preach, that we really preach to you, and that we demonstrate to you, has to come from those who are qualified by God, given an assignment, and are out fulfilling the requirements of it. Amen. And that's how we build God's house. Amen. Because we can tell when you believe in God, and you believe in what God is doing and what God has said to you.
Mm-hmm.
Because when it's time for you to bring resources, your time, your energy in, you don't have a problem doing it to the fullest of your ability. But when you're trying to do something so people can see you, you try to one-up each other, amen? And your heart really isn't in the work. It's in trying to put somebody out the pasture. You understand? So when it's time for you to give towards the work, you can't give because your heart really isn't in the work.
Amen.
Y'all understand?
Yeah.
Amen. The people had given so much. Going back to Exodus, this is the 36th chapter now. Exodus 36. And let's just take it from the let's go down to the third verse. Amen. From Exodus 35 and 20 up to Exodus 36 and 3, we see how they have given everything that Moses has asked of them. Amen. All the congregation has given everything, and they gave it in a free will offering. Amen. So that free will offering, 29 verse 35 and 29 says, the children of Israel brought a freewill offering to the Lord, all the men and women whose hearts were willing to material for all kind of work which the Lord by the hand of Moses had commanded to be done. And let me say something right here. Your job as the body of Christ is to simply sow into the ministry. Amen?
Amen.
God has given the vision to the leader. Mm-hmm. Amen? And I'm saying this because what we have is we want to drive the best cars, live in the best house, wear the best clothes, and but we try to muscle the ox when it comes down to what he has. Amen. The children of Israel were gifted with the land. They were given the land. Amen. There was a promised land given to them. But Aaron received none of that, amen? And the Levites were restricted from having their plotted land. What they received was an allotment that came through the priests, from the offerings, amen? And I wish I had time to really go into that teaching and deal with that training there, because what we look at is they became prosperous as a clan of people, the Levites, as one of the tribes. They became prosperous not because they had their own land, but because they were given allotments based on what the other tribes had done for Aaron, amen, and for the Levites, amen. So even at that, the work wasn't given to Aaron to do. Huh? It was not given to Aaron to do. It was given to Moses to do. Amen? That's why this is important, because as the Lord spoke to Moses, Moses spoke to the people. The people responded to what Moses had said to them from the Lord, and then there was enough to do the work. Amen? That's where we see this. And the children of Israel brought a freewill offering to the Lord, all the men and women whose hearts were willing to bring materials of all kinds of work which the Lord, by the hand of Moses, had commanded to be done. Amen? And then we see that, so Moses said to the children of Israel, see, the Lord has called by name Bezalel, son of Uri, and son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and he has filled him with the Spirit of God, man, in wisdom and understanding and knowledge and all manner workmanship, to design artistic works, to the work in gold and silver and bronze, in cutting jewels for setting and carving wood, and to work in all manner of artistic workmanship. And he has put in his heart the ability to teach. Amen. Now, here we go right here. When we start dealing with what we call the fivefold ministry, which is really not fivefold, but we'll use it as the ascension gifts, the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, pastor, and teacher. I'm about to show you what a teacher really does within the ascension gifts. Amen. 34 first, 35 and 34. And he has put in his heart the ability to teach in him and Aholiab, the son of Ahisamach, the tribe of Dan. He has built them with skill to do all manner of work of the engraver and the designer and the tapestry maker in blue, purple, and scarlet thread, and fine linen, and other weaver, those who do every work, and those who design artistic work. 36 and 1, and Bezalel and Aholiab, and every gift the artisan in whom the Lord has put wisdom and understanding to know how to do all manner of work for the service of the tabernacle shall do according to all that the Lord has commanded. So now, what does the teacher actually do? I'm sorry, not does. What does the teacher actually do? Amen. The teacher actually instructs you in the work that has to be done.
Amen.
You see that?
Mm-hmm.
Within themselves, they already have the skill. You see that? 31st verse, it says 35 and 31, and he has filled them with the Spirit of God. First of all, they have to be connected to the body of Christ. You see that?
Yes.
The Holy Spirit has to be on the inside of them before they can do anything else. Amen?
Amen.
And they, in being connected to him, then he fills them in with wisdom and understanding. Huh? He fills them in with knowledge and all manner of workmanship. You see that?
Yes.
So then they are skilled at what they do. You understand? Anyone in ministry should be apt to teach or preach.
Should be.
Amen?
Mm-hmm.
Should be. When you have somebody who can depend on other people's books but can't get a manuscript themselves, you have a problem. Amen? When you can take what somebody else done and pass it off as your own, we got enough plagiarists that are actually standing in pulpits today. Amen? They can't get a word themselves, but they bought a good book. You understand? They bought a good outline. They go online and look and see what's good and try to pick up the right little manuscript so that they can preach it out to prove a point. But they don't get into the Word of God or let the Holy Spirit speak to them so that they actually have fresh manna from on high to give you. There's no rhema in their Word. Amen?
Amen.
They have logos written, planned out word, but they don't have rhema, that applicable word that is applicable to your situation for today. Amen?
Amen.
I don't want somebody to pick up somebody's... it's wonderful that Kenneth Hagin preached the message and you took notes, but don't preach his message. Amen? Preach what God has given you. You can go to that, and while you're going through his notes, the Holy Spirit will speak to you and give you your own notes. You understand?
Yes.
So you can understand what they preach. And don't be out here, I can listen to nobody because I got to get my own. Sit up under a teacher and make sure that they can instruct you. Get a spiritual father and mother. Make sure that they sit there and pour into your life. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
So you can develop. Amen? We talked about a mantle is the transference of a responsibility or ability from one to another. Amen?
Yes.
That means you can't get it unless somebody give it to you. Elisha couldn't get nothing until Elijah gave it to him. Amen?
Amen.
I have to understand this. Amen? It's important. It's imperative to the body of Christ today that we stop walking around as a bunch of vagrants, spiritual vagrants and rebels. talking about I got it and I'm going to get it. This is me and mine, and y'all just mad because somebody looked at me and called me by a title. Amen? Who cares what the prefix is on your name when your lifestyle demonstrates otherwise? You become, in the body of Christ, a cancer. Amen? Because you grow quick, but you bring to yourself all the cells that need to be nurtured, and you grow big, not because of health, but because of poison.
Mm-hmm.
Amen?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I wish I had time. Lord, I wish I had time. And that's what a cancer does. A cancer begins to pull resources from the organs in the body till that organ is now in trouble from lack of resource. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
It also becomes so big that it presses the organs out of place so that they cannot function. You understand? So in the body of Christ now, we have cancerous growth. Amen? And it's cancerous because those who have the ability to stand up and proclaim the gospel are sitting back silent. Amen? Where are the true apostles? I'm talking about the ones who will actually go out and go to the cross. Amen?
Yeah.
Where are the ones who will go out and proclaim, even though they're being beaten and thrown in jail? Where are the real prophets? Amen. Even though they're proclaiming the word of God and people are trying to stone them to death, how come we don't see them nowadays? We see prophets and apostles and pastors and evangelists and teachers out trying to build up their brand. Amen. They're branding themselves and they're building their brand up, but there's nothing happening within the body of Christ because the focus is not on the work, it's on the person.
That's all they want to see. May I jump in?
Yes, yes, yes.
All they seem to want to do, people of God, is to see how high they can go. What other title that I can attach onto my name? How many other people can I get to give money into my coffers?
Now, how many people do I have under me?
How many spiritual sons and daughters do I have under me? How many people are calling me mommy and daddy? It seems to be, but no one has got their faith. I don't want to say no one because I know God always has a remnant. But we have to be careful on these pastor superstars, these apostolic superstars,
mm-hmm.
these prophetic superstars. You got to get to a point where you can see all the superstardom, but you don't see any power. You don't see people coming saying, what must I do to be saved? Do you understand what I'm saying? We're too, and this is not everybody. I'm not talking about everybody, but I'm saying that the world's idea and system has crept in the church and has rooted itself.
Yes, yes.
And you have this spirit of, when is it my turn so I can shine? Not letting the Spirit of Christ shine through me.
Mm-hmm.
Not letting when has it become a time where you gave to someone and you didn't have to have your name mentioned across the pulpit?
That's right.
When do we do things for people just because it needs to be done? I remember back in the day when I was growing up in church, people just did things for you because the Spirit laid it up on their heart and they just did it. They weren't looking for you to recognize them because they did it. It was just the right thing to do. Amen. So we have to get back to, we really have to get back to basics. We really have to get this kill the spirit of idolatry.
That's it. This self-worship, this flesh worship, you know, it is so bad. When we start going into this, Lord, I'm trying not to go into my other lessons because we have to make sure that we focus on them too. But when we start dealing with some of these pagan religions, the reason why your secularist, your humanist, your neo-pagan, and all of them can come along and actually have something that sounds right, it's because all of them are taking something away, you understand, and demonstrating something to people. We talk about the greenhouse effect that's going on. So people are concerned about the earth and everything. But it was given to us as the children of God, as man. It was given to us to manage, have dominion, and to take care of it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Understand, Adam wasn't just set in the garden so that he could sit back. He was set in a garden so that he could care for it.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir.
You understand?
Mm-hmm.
So if we are those who are to be, if we're the ones who are going back to Eden, you know, to live on top of the world, amen, then we have to begin to take care of the world, amen?
Amen.
Failure to do so now has opened up doors for those who will worship the earth god Gaia, amen? And other mother goddess entities to come in and do something that will sound good, but not necessarily be holy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the children of Israel kept sinning. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
On this lesson here that we're talking about, to build God's house, really has gone from here a couple of places and back. Amen. But the thing is that we have to understand is that this is our responsibility as the body of Christ to demonstrate the work of God. And we are failing. Amen?
Amen.
Because we have lost the focus. The gospel is not the gospel of Jesus Christ coming to redeem man through the shedding of his blood and the resurrection, which gives us hope that since he was the first of many in the resurrection, that we too will be those who are resurrected as well. Amen?
Amen.
We have no thought or concern of the judgment seat of Christ, because we don't believe the Bible no more than we believe, you know, the contracts and stuff we sign with each other.
True.
We think it's just another piece of paper. Amen?
Amen.
And, you know, those who are in ministry just use the word to try to get over on people as much as they can. So we have all of these stigmas out here. We got to get back to dealing with this. Prophet, it's the problem that we have with people being able to grab hold of the gospel and go and do it is that we have so many personal concerns that we don't have time to focus on God anymore. And this is not to lessen the impact or the severity of anybody's situation that they're going through, but people have descended upon Sanford, Florida. Amen.
That's
and my
true.
Heart goes out to the family.
That's true.
You know.
Yeah.
But look at the society that we live in that would allow that atrocity to even happen nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think people really recognize and realize that racism and other
alive
things
and
is
well.
Really alive and well.
Alive and well.
Amen. We think that, oh, you know, it really wouldn't happen like that. Yes, 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 it would happen like that,
yes,
and it did happen like that, and it is happening like that, amen?
Amen.
We still have people who are being trafficked, you know, human trafficking is still going on.
That's right, right under our noses.
You know, and we talk about, oh, that's terrible, but, you know, it doesn't really bother you until it hits your doorstep, comes in your front room, huh? We got to get back to these things. We have power. We have a responsibility. We got to get to our business. And that business is redeeming lost souls and demonstrating the power of God. Amen.
May I say something for 30 seconds? And getting back to prophesying the truth.
That's it.
Getting back to prophesying to people the truth about Jesus Christ and in their lives. People are leading messy lives, y'all. And we have to quit trying to prophesy all the good and the positive and get to the root of people's issues in the name of Jesus and give
Amen.
Them the answer.
Amen. Listen, our time is away from us. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, right now in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you for this word. I thank you, Lord, because you have given us, oh God, this time. Now, Lord, if there's anyone here who will be listening to this that's not saved, help them to recognize, Lord, that if they confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in their heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, then they shall be saved. Lord, then lead them to a Bible teaching, believing church, amen, in the name of Jesus, so that they can grow, oh God, and start working on and fulfilling their kingdom assignment. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Now, Lord, we pray for those ministries and those who have asked us for prayer. We pray for them, Lord, the resources and the needs, oh God, the healings that need. Lord, we pray for it right now to be released. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And we thank you for every sign, wonder, and miracle that's coming to pass. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Let every heart say amen,
amen.
And amen. Listen, go to our website, www.ctkr.org. There you can become a vision partner with us and help us to push this gospel and establish the kingdom of God greater. Amen.
Amen.
I'm Apostle Christopher McQueen.
I'm Prophetess Crystal McQueen.
Of Christ the King Redemptive Ministries. And this is Kingdom Lifestyle. Be blessed in the name of the Lord.